The World Tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. Few know the purpose behind Prime Minister Kosygin's 7-day state visit to Britain. Fewer still know that Bible prophecies reveal what it is and how it will affect Britain and the United States. Gigantic trends are underway between the big powers of the world today, and few people understand the warming up between the United States and Russia, and on the other hand, the now unilateral course, and the outspoken statements of the new West German Premier, Kurt Kiesinger, and the new coalition government in Germany. In the meantime, everyone seems to look toward Vietnam. We look at the daily bad news, we look at local news, at accidents, at all of the problems around us. But few people seem to understand what is going on behind the scenes in Europe. Now, here in a unique magazine, different from anything else you've read before, is an article about Russia's real fear. How Prime Minister Kosygin revealed in Britain Russia's real fear about what's happening in Germany. Our own editors were on the spot. Soviet Premier Alexei Kosygin had just spoken at a luncheon at the Dorchester Hotel, London, when this article came in to the Plain Truth editorial staff here in Pasadena, California. And here are on-the-spot pictures of Mr. Kosygin and Mr. Wilson in that meeting. And behind the scenes, what Bible prophecy says is sure to happen as a result of it. Mr. Kosygin shocked his audience in the hour-and-a-quarter question-and-answer speaking session. He disclosed in no uncertain terms the Russian attitude towards some of the big problems confronting today's world. And the first problem he named, the revival of Nazism in West Germany. Then, recently, a major article in Look magazine talked about the same thing. Maybe you read it. But why is it that after all of these years of repeated warnings on the World Tomorrow program going back to more than 30 years ago about what was going to happen inside Germany, and especially in Central Europe, a movement toward unity, a movement toward ultimately 10 nations possibly to be called the United States of Europe, warnings for years and years in the pages of the Plain Truth magazine and over this program, The World Tomorrow, about a neo-Nazi revival in Germany. And now it is happening. It has happened, and it's going to occur. Clear back in 1944, before the end of World War II, this broadcast, The World Tomorrow, was saying Germany will rise again. It was saying Germany would be reindustrialized, revitalized, that Germany would rise to first economic and then political and military power again. This program was reporting what few people even remotely realized would occur, that with Marshall Plan dollars, with United States aid, bamboozled by the blinding fear of communism under the notion that we could see visions of future German soldiers marching to the whims and the tunes of the West, that we could see West Germany as a docile ally of the United States and Great Britain, as a buffer, a bulwark, was our official thinking, between the West and the communist hordes of Eastern Europe and Soviet Russia. That just as sure as we did that, in the words of Walter Lippmann many, many years ago, we put the Germans in the driver's seat. Now, I am not against German people. The offices of this World Tomorrow broadcast are around the world. One of them is in a leading city in West Germany. The Plain Truth magazine is published in the German language. This broadcast goes out in the German language. We have many Germans on the editorial staff of the Plain Truth magazine. I'm 100% for them. Absolutely for them. But I also know that Bible prophecy identifies the big powers of this world today. That your nation, wherever you live, is mentioned in the pages of Bible prophecy. And that this program reporting on those conditions long before they did occur was saying so because of a faith in what the Bible says. Because of knowledge in advance of world news before it happens, long before any inklings of it occurred in the press. Now, you can have the understanding about where our peoples are identified in Bible prophecy if you will write for the booklet on the United States and the British Commonwealth in prophecy, and also the article on Germany in prophecy. Where are the Germans mentioned in Bible prophecy? You're going to be amazed at what the Bible says. I know that people scoffed. I know that world leaders many decades ago, 2 decades ago, said that this world would never see Germany arising again. And through the 40s, as German cities were being pounded into so much wrecked brick and rubble by Allied bombers daily, the British bombers and nightly the British bombers and daily the American bombers went over those cities in West Germany, and in Eastern Germany too at that time, of course. I know that the average observer, especially those of political prestige and importance, gave Germany not 50 years to rise again. They said, some of them, that Germany will never recover, that this has once and for all put the German nation in such a position that it can never again rise to any position of power, that it can never again threaten the peace and the security of the world. Now what's happening? Is it a tempest in a teapot? Can you afford to pass it off? Can you afford to say, oh, well, people have always screamed about this and that, and I see it as a healthy sign. After all, we should let these people alone. 20 and some odd years have gone by, and I don't think there's any danger. Of course, you can think exactly what you choose. People can make up their minds to anything regardless as to the facts. But regardless as to what you think about it, I will tell you this, that the God Almighty who gives you every breath of air you breathe, the God whose existence can be proved, has spelled out a direct sequence of events in the pages of Bible prophecy. That the news of your world is given in advance before it happens, and that that God has said that unless our peoples, and I'm speaking plainly and straight from the shoulder, our peoples, the United States and Great Britain, of Australia, of Canada, turn from our national and our personal sins. I don't mean anything short of that. I mean total 100% national repentance on our knees with long fastings and prayer, admitting that we have led the world in every rotten filth you can begin to imagine. Admitting we have led the world in crime, in divorce, in chicanery, in intrigue. That we have led the world in pornography, that we have exported slop, crime, sex, and filth to the rest of the world, admitting our personal selfishness, our jealousy, our ballooning, burgeoning vanity, and our greed, admitting what we have done, what we are, what we have become. And unless we call out to that God and ask Him to show us His way, unless we repent of the wrong way of life that we have been living and begin to live the right way, then I'm telling you, on the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that Germany, at the head of the United States of Europe, is going to punish our peoples and come with descending wrath like a giant hurricane out of heaven and blast our cities to rubble, and there won't be but two-thirds of our citizens left alive. And that is a statement of Bible prophecy. That's a fact. It's true. Now, there is an unless, there is a way out. There is an alternative, and that is to repent, to see what we have been doing. I don't mean just repent of a few political mistakes. I mean to get on our knees and on our bellies and to call out to God in great heart-rending repentance and to say we know what we have been and what we have done, and we need His help and His counsel, because we don't know the way out of our own personal problems, let alone the gigantic problems of the world. Now, for years and years, this broadcast, The World Tomorrow, has been warning our peoples this is going to occur. And it is occurring. It's developing. And you're going to continue to see it develop. We said many, many years ago that the Eastern European countries were going to loosen up, that trade would be reestablished. And we quoted the words of such men as Alfred Krupp, who said years ago that when the way of trade to the East was opened up, some of the big industrialists and himself in particular would not be found wanting in initiative. We quoted from the words of a captured geopolitical document that was coming to light in about 1950 in the German Geopolitical Center in Madrid as to what the Germans undercover and behind the scenes underground were saying. But above all and beyond it all and through it all, we have continually emphasized it isn't a matter of deciphering news. It's not a matter of collecting certain facts and then putting some interpretation on them. It's not a matter of being for or against this or that party or group or movement or race. But it is a matter of understanding Bible prophecy by admitting God Almighty does exist and proving it. By coming to know, because you can prove it, and prove it scientifically and through history, that the Bible is the revealed word of that God, and coming to know that Bible prophecy is working out on schedule, exactly as He has predicted. Through it all, we have continually emphasized Bible prophecy. Now, you will know where our countries are identified if you write for these booklets, the United States and the British Commonwealth in prophecy. Now, you know, you believing that our peoples are identified isn't going to get me anything. And it's not especially going to get you anything. It's what you do about it later. But once you prove that, then you're going to know what the Bible says about our future. You're going to know what the Bible says about other races, nations, and military and political powers in connection with us. You're going to know the delicate balance of power that occurs. You're going to know the shifting of power in the world. You're going to know what's been happening in this post-war world. This complete reversal from the time of a great struggle between the Allied powers and Germany, Japan, and Italy to the time of the befriending of Germany, Japan, and Italy and a great struggle among the Allied powers, formerly Allied. And now it seems to warm up and thaw a little bit. Now here's the problem with China. And now in the aftermath, you begin to see the vanquished of World War II once again throwing their weight around in the world, and it's as if history is going to repeat itself. And in many, many ways it is. Except with vaster and more awesome consequences. Japan is destined to be, as we have said in the pages of the Plain Truth magazine, the supergiant of the Orient. Japan is once again getting visions of empire. Japan is going to once again begin to make territorial demands. You can get all alarmed and scared about Red China all you wish, but starvation, drought, and famine, and all types of violent overthrow of people on a lesser level inside of China, revolution, has kept that nation behind and way in the throes and the struggles of internal revolution to cause China to be very greatly weakened internally. You're going to see Japan emerge as a new threat, believe it or not, in the years ahead. Bible prophecy indicates quite strongly that that's going to be true. You're going to see, believe it or not, a new axis. You are going to see, believe it or not, a unification of nations, ultimately 10 nations or groupings of nations inside Europe, very likely called, though it doesn't state this in Bible prophecy, it merely mentions 10 kings, 10 governors, 10 rulers, 10 leaders. But they could be called the United States of Europe. But you're going to see all of these countries dominated by one country in particular that will be the dominant power, and that country is going to be Germany. And you're going to see Germany begin to step out and to really talk against this non-proliferation idea, and to really talk against the idea of the Soviets and the United States getting together to agree that Germany should remain partitioned. That is the demand, and that is the vehement desire of the Soviets to keep East Germany and West Germany separated, and the West Germans aren't going to stand for it. And you're going to see this German reunification issue become one of the biggest events in your newspapers, paling into insignificance the war in Vietnam. You're going to see later on the war in Vietnam only as one more great festering sore among many that has been sapping and draining the strength of the United States of America because of our national sins. And then finally, out of it all, you're going to see some good news. Out of it all, you're going to see government taken out of the hands of man, and you're going to see the rest of Bible prophecy fulfilled. That of a world-ruling government, that of a world that is finally going to have world law, world peace through law, enforced by law, worldwide law enforcement, you're going to see a new world language, a new world religion, a one world language. You're going to see one church and church unity around the entirety of the earth. And you're going to see every vast reform that can begin to be imagined or desired. Now, you know, it's not a matter of what you want to believe. It's a matter of what is the truth. Can you prove there is a God? Yes, you can. You can write for these booklets, Does God Exist? And the proof of the Bible, the one I've been talking about continually on 7 proofs, that God exists. Can you prove that Bible prophecy is true? Well, one good way to do it is to prove that the former prophecies came to pass. To prove that prophecies that were given centuries before the occurrence was predicted came to pass on schedule, just as God Almighty said they would. Once you prove there is a God, and you prove it by getting to the trunk of the tree, and you prove it absolutely and positively, once you prove the Bible is His Word, and that past prophecies have come to pass on schedule, just as they were predicted to, and then as you see every major event that Jesus Christ foretold, Every major event that Ezekiel talks about, that Isaiah and Hosea and Daniel and Joel and Amos and others talk about, forming, shaping, coming to pass, developing before your eyes and all around you, you will begin to believe Bible prophecy. Now, even if, my friends, you don't believe it, even if you never believe it, it's still going to happen. Now, what I'm saying doesn't depend upon you believing it. I'm not trying to get you to believe it. Well, in one sense, I am, but only if you prove it to yourself, not just because I say it. Don't believe me. Believe what the Bible says. If you want the truth, you'll have to receive the love of the truth. You'll have to research it. You'll have to want it. But here's the point. It doesn't matter whether you believe it so far as whether or not it's true, does it? If you do believe it and it's not true, that wouldn't change it, would it? If you don't believe it and it is true, that wouldn't change it, would it? You see, my job is that of a watchman who has been commissioned to tell you not what you want to hear or what you would like to believe, but to tell you the way it will be and to let you make up your mind about what you will do about it. God Almighty has said, this world will receive a witness, that this world will be told of exactly where it's headed, that the good news will also be given about the world tomorrow. The good news of a better world will be preached right along with it. He has said several things about what his servants, what his true work ought to be doing. Among them, he said, cry aloud, spare not. He said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their sins. That's one commission. We don't like to hear about our sins, but we're going to hear them. Either we're going to hear about them and turn from them, or they're going to come right back to smack us in the face and knock us clear to the ground, one way or the other. Now also, he has said that we have to sound the alarm of war, like the watchman in Ezekiel who saw, who watched, who perceived world conditions, and who told people exactly what was going to occur. And as God said to Ezekiel, who was the watchman, and who wrote in a book that was preserved for our day, messages that never got to the people for whom they were intended because it was way too late. A book that was written into the future, really. A book that was not even written for that day. And here was Ezekiel, the watchman, who was told it made no difference what people did with this message. He was responsible. He was told, you've got to go and give them warning from me. If they hear and they turn from their sins, they will have delivered their lives. And you will have done your job. But if you don't preach so they can't hear and have that opportunity to turn from their way of life and to repent and to change their way of life with the help of God's Spirit before it's too late, then you'd better know, Ezekiel, God told him that their blood is going to be on your hands. He wasn't given a choice. He was commanded to go and to preach that message whether people liked it or not. And he was warned in advance. Their foreheads would be adamant like flint, he was told. They would be hard-hearted, stiff-necked, set-jawed. They would be rebellious. They'd say, oh, I don't want to believe it. It isn't true. What's this guy think he's doing? Who does he think he is? They would have every excuse under the sun. Their minds would be closed. But God said to Ezekiel, you go, and you preach anyhow. And be not afraid, he said, of their hard looks. They've got to hear. So that, when these things occur, they will know that a prophet of God was among them. That's another part of the commission that God gave his people to perform. Now also, in the book of, well, in the writings of the Apostle Paul to the young evangelist Timothy, he told him, preach the word. Be instant or alert that he's eager to do it, in season, out of season. It makes no difference the time. He told him to preach the word of God. Now Jesus said that the great prophecy that would be in the process of being fulfilled right now today is this, in Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel, that is good news, of the kingdom, that is the government of God, the ruling family of God, that is going to take up a great rod to rule this earth with a rod of iron, that good news of coming world ruling government shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The end of man's way of life, the end of man's governments, the end, too, of all of the wretchedness, the filth, the poverty, the disease, the illiteracy, the end of war, the end of human suffering, the end of death, the end of everything that is evil and rotten and that we don't want. Then shall the end come. But first, that work is going to go before him. Now, God gives manifold warnings in the Bible. He gives us a choice. He says any time the wicked hear and turn from his sin, then he's going to be delivered. His sins will not be mentioned to him. He will be forgiven. He has to change his way of life. Repent means to turn around and go the other way, to turn from your wrong way of life and begin to live according to God's laws because it's for your good. Then that person can be spared from what is going to occur. As a matter of fact, there is a specific promise that is given in the third chapter of the book of Revelation to the church. It is called of the Philadelphians, those before whom God has somehow set an open door. And when you find the Apostle Paul talking about an open door, he explained it was a door of evangelism. When he was recounting how God had mysteriously given him a dream of a young Macedonian man who stood on the shore and beckoned to him when he was on what is modern-day Turkey or Asia Minor, saying, "Come over hither," and how Paul was then able for the first time, after 19 years had gone by, in a 19-year time cycle, to go to Europe to preach the good news of God's coming kingdom and of the truth of Jesus Christ. He showed how that open door of which he spoke was a door to preach the gospel, to preach the good news. Now, the only church that is spoken of in the whole phases and the eras of God's people, spelled out in the second and third chapters of Revelation, is the church of the Philadelphians, before whom an open door is set. And God has opened doors continually so that his good news, his word, and his warning message, the last one that man is going to receive, could be preached around the world as a witness, not to try to start some conflicting church denomination, not to try to begin some movement, not to try to compete with others, not to grind an axe of this or that doctrine or to get people excited or angry or anything of the kind, just to preach the truth of God, let the chips fall where they may, let people believe whatever pleases them, let them make up their own minds, but nevertheless that work must be done and there is an open door before it. And God has said no man can shut it. And it's going to go out. The fact that you're hearing it right now will one day be quite important to you. What you do with it today, tonight, tomorrow, well, only you will know that. It won't affect me one way or the other, except indirectly, will it? But, you know, you need to come to the point where you ask yourself a few basic questions. You know, sooner or later, regardless as to what you might like to believe, you must arrive at a basis for common agreement in any subject, a common understanding. If you ignore the trunk of the tree, if you reject basic truths, if you deny positive fact, if you forget about it, and you don't even bother yourself with positive fact, then don't disturb yourselves about any important question in life. Just admit to yourself, say to yourself, well, I reject truth. My mind is closed. I don't want the truth. I wish to be ignorant and uninformed. But if you don't want to reject truth, if you don't want to be ignorant, now maybe you absolutely disagree with something you hear me say. Well, I wouldn't get excited about that. What's to get excited about? If you can disprove it, by all means do so. But if you can't, if you can prove that it's true, then be like the Bereans who, as you read in Acts 17 and verse 11, search the scriptures daily. Have you done that? Whether these things were so. Not whether these things were not so, but whether these things were so. I've said continually, don't believe me unless you prove it to yourself in the Bible. Write for these booklets. Look up the scriptures. Underline them. Mark them. Find out. You know, people, if they want the truth, they can have it. But you have to receive a love of the truth. You have to want the truth about the big questions in life. You have to know the truth and want it and desire it about the origin of things, the origin of the universe, the origin of the solar system, the origin of the earth, the origin of life, the purpose in living. You have to know the truth, to want to know the truth, to desire to know the truth about human nature, about life and death, about the hereafter, about God and Christ and angels, about what does happen when you die, and is there a place you can go to find out? If you have a questing mind, then ask, what are you willing to believe? Are you willing to believe what you see proved? Are you willing to admit facts? Are you willing to have an open mind and to search into it for yourself? If you are, I'll give you a positive guarantee you will find the answers. G. Jesus Christ of Nazareth said, "Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened." He said you can prove God exists and that the Bible is His Word. You can prove Bible prophecy is true. You can prove that about one-third of all the Bible is prophecy, and that 90% of it pertains to today, that it's being unfolded, developed, and coming to pass before your very eyes. You can prove those statements. But you've got to take the initiative to do it. You've got to get your name on the mailing list of the Plain Truth magazine, and there he is, and you'll have to prove this to yourself. People are so skeptical and suspicious today, they won't even take a man's word for it when he says, "I'm going to give you something free." Because there have been so many people who have lied about it, just proving again the horrible situation that we find all around us today. You can't believe anybody. They say it's free, and you think they're lying. This is free, and that's no lie. And I'm saying it over more than 40 million watts of radio power, and you can hold me to it. The Plain Truth magazine is absolutely free. There is no subscription price for you. There is no request for money. There is no coupon in it. There is no follow-up. There is no check that it comes, a blank check like some people use all of these crazy, furtive little gimmicks. There is no envelope that has a sort of a check printed inside of it that I've seen people utilize. There is no pressure that is put on you. There is never anybody who rings your telephone, nobody who ever knocks on your door. But this is knowledge you can't afford to be without. And here is knowledge that goes behind the scenes, like this lead article I was telling you about of Russia's real fear. Do you know the purpose behind Prime Minister Kosygin's state visit to Britain? But it's going to affect your life, and his fear is quite real. And if you think for one moment I go along with communism, you can think again. Communism is a deadly enemy of free men everywhere and seeks to enslave all mankind. And it's an enemy, a godless, atheistic enemy of God. But the fact that Mr. Kosygin has one little tiny shred of truth ought to be a cause for somebody to rejoice in. But the Plain Truth magazine will show you some of these answers. And it doesn't say, "Believe me, because I'm pretty and in full color." It says, "Prove me. Check up, find out, research, quest, ask questions, underline, take notes, look back and forth, get all the facts, and then make up your mind what you think is the truth. But do it honestly, because you have honestly looked into it, and you've been honest with yourself and honest with your God. Above all things, don't allow yourselves to be subjected to intellectual pressure. Don't accept anything you don't see proved. If you see it proved, believe it. Do like the Bereans did and search the scriptures whether these things be so. Write for this good news booklet on the wonderful world tomorrow after all is said and done, after these droughts and famines and wars are over. Then what is the outcome? What is the good news beyond this booklet, the wonderful world tomorrow? What it will be like tells you. It gives you the good news along with some of the bad that we're headed for in this world. And it too is free of charge. All the booklets are free. There is no price for them. All you need to do is to write to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. Be sure that you tell us the name of your radio station, the call letters of your station. The booklets are "Does God Exist?", "The Proof of the Bible," "The United States and the British Commonwealth in Prophecy." You can just mention the USP if you want to, and we'll know what you mean. And also The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. They are free of charge, there is no price. And also the Plain Truth magazine. The address again in just a moment. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.